Today we're building one of the most effective little atmosphere tricks in Jungle and Old School D&B, a jungle pad drift in Ableton Live 12. This is not about making a massive cinematic pad that takes over the track. It's about controlled movement. It's about fog behind the breakbeat, that feeling where the drums are still the star, the bass is still driving the floor, but the track keeps breathing between the hits. That's the magic. In this lesson, we're working in the drums area of drum and bass production, because that's where this technique really earns its keep. Jungle and Old School D&B are all about contrast. The breaks are busy, the bass is forward, and the arrangement needs motion so it doesn't feel looped. A drifting pad gives you emotion, tension, and forward momentum without cluttering the groove. So let's get into it. First, create a new MIDI track and load a stock instrument. For this sound, Waveatable is a great starting point because it's flexible and still clean enough to shape into something gritty. Analog works too if you want a warmer, older texture. And if you want a slightly unstable, soft analog style pad, Drift is a great option. Start simple. You do not need a giant chord stack here. In fact, the simpler the harmony, the better. Think sustained saw or triangle tones, maybe a little detune, low voice count, and no big attack. If you're using Waveatable, a good starting setup is oscillator 1 on saw, oscillator 2 on triangle or a second saw slightly detuned, with unison around 2 to 4 voices and only a little detune. Then low pass the sound so it starts fairly dark. Somewhere around 1.5 to 4 kHz is a good rough area to begin with. Now play a minor voicing that sits above the bass. In jungle, less is more. A root, minor third, and fifth is fine, or even just two notes if you want a more uneasy, haunted feel. You're not writing a chord pad for a soundtrack. You're building atmosphere that stays out of the way. Next, decide what role the pad is playing in the arrangement. This is important, because a jungle pad should have a job. Is it a drone under the intro? Is it a chord that changes every 4 or 8 bars? Or is it a two-note interval that creates tension? For old school jungle, I'd recommend keeping the harmony quite limited. Maybe one chord for the first 8 bars, then a slightly changed voicing for the next 8 bars, then back again or inverted for release. That tiny amount of harmonic movement is enough, when the drums are already doing so much. Also, keep the pad high enough that it doesn't step on the bass. If your sub lives around E1 to A1, keep the pad mostly above C3. That keeps the low end clean and makes the break hit harder. Now let's make the pad drift. The key thing here is that the movement should feel arranged, not random. In arrangement view, automate a few core parameters instead of trying to animate everything at once. The big three are filter cutoff, reverb send, and stereo position or width. A practical starting move for a 16-bar phrase is this. Start the filter cutoff quite low, maybe around 250 to 500 Hz in character, then gradually open it toward 1.5 to 3 kHz by the end of the phrase. At the same time, bring the reverb send up slowly and let the pad drift a little left or right in the stereo field before easing back. The important thing is to use smooth curves. Jungle loves urgency, but abrupt automation on a pad can sound accidental unless you're intentionally doing a hit or transition effect. Here we want the pad to feel like it's moving through the room. Now add some internal motion. This can be very subtle. You might use Chorus Ensemble for a gentle phase shimmer, or auto filter with very slow movement, or even a tiny amount of phaser flanger if you want a murkier texture. Keep this restrained. The breakbeat already brings tons of rhythmic detail, so the pad only needs a little life inside the sound. If you use Chorus Ensemble, stay gentle, low rate, modest dry slash wet, and just enough depth to make the pad breathe. If you go too far, it starts sounding like a lead or a huge trance wash, and that's not the vibe. Now shape the tone so it stays out of the way of the drums and bass. Put EQ 8 after the instrument. High pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on how dense the arrangement is. If the pad clouds the snare body, carve a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. And if it's stealing presence from the break or getting too sharp, dip somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz a little. This is where a lot of people either underdue it or overdue it. The goal is not to make the pad thin. The goal is to make room. In old school D&B, that mid-range zone is crowded. Breaks, reesses, vocal chops, snare crack, all of it lives there. So carve with intention. If you want a dirtier jungle edge, add a touch of saturator after the EQ, or even before the reverb. Keep it subtle. A little drive, soft clip-on, and that's often enough. You're aiming for tape-like age and grime, not a distorted synth lead. Now let's give it space. Create a return track with reverb or hybrid reverb. For jungle, darker is better. A big shiny hall usually sounds too clean. You want a controlled, moody space. Try a decay somewhere around 2.5 to 6 seconds, with pre-delay around 15 to 35 milliseconds, and then cut the lows and highs on the return so the space stays focused. A low cut around 200 to 400 Hz and a high cut around 5 to 8 kHz is a solid place to begin. And here's a great arrangement tip. Automate the send, not just the reverb settings. Let the pad bloom more before a drop, then pull it back when the drums slam in. That contrast is classic. It makes the drop feel bigger without adding another sound. Next, keep the pad from fighting the drums with sidechain or manual ducking. A compressor sidechained from the kick or even the drum bus can work well. You don't need heavy pumping here. Just a few dB of gain reduction is enough to tuck the pad behind the transient energy. If the break is especially busy, manual volume automation can actually sound better than compression. That way you can duck the pad during fills, ghost snares, and chopped moments where the drums need full attention. In jungle, that kind of phrase-by-phrase control makes a huge difference. Now place the pad in the arrangement with intent. A typical shape might be bars 1 to 8, sparse intro with a break and a very quiet pad entrance. Bars 9 to 16, the filter opens, the reverb increases, and the tension builds. Then when the drop hits, narrow the pad, high pass it a bit more, and let the drums and bass take over. Later, during a breakdown or switch up, bring the pad back wider and wetter again. That push and pull is the whole game. A jungle pad works best when it responds to the drum program. If the bass line leaves space, let the pad breathe there. If the snares get busy, pull the pad back. It should feel like part of the arrangement, not a loop sitting on top of it. If you want to take it a step further, resample the pad to audio. This is a very Ableton-friendly move and it can add a more authentic old-school feel. Record a few bars with the automation and reverb, then consolidate the best section, re-import it, and maybe reverse a few tails or lightly warp it. You can even add a little vinyl distortion, redux, or echo to rough it up a bit. Again, subtlety matters. The goal is not lo-fi for its own sake. The goal is to make the pad feel like it belongs in a raw jungle mix with chopped breaks and heavy sub. Always check the pad in context. Solo is not enough. Listen to how it interacts with the kick, the snare, the sub, and the break detail. Check the 300 to 600 Hz zone for masking. Make sure the snare still cracks through. Make sure the sub stays stable. And if the pad is wide, always check mono compatibility with utility. If it gets hollow or facey in mono, reduce the widening and simplify the chorus or stereo movement. A lot of the time, the strongest jungle pad is not the biggest one. It's the one that creates mood without stealing physical space from the rhythm section. So here's the big takeaway. Think in layers, not just one pad. A stable bed can hold the chord, while a separate moving layer handles the drift. That might mean one clean, centered layer and one wider, wetter texture layer. It might mean a slow filter move plus a separate reverb send move. It might mean a subtle stereo drift that only really opens before the drop. Also, automate less but with clearer intent. One well-timed move before a drop is often stronger than constant movement everywhere. Ask yourself what the pad is doing right now. Is it filling space? Building tension? Softening a transition? Supporting a breakdown? If you can't answer that, simplify it. For a great practice exercise, try building a 16-bar jungle intro pad in 3 stages. Start dry and narrow, then open the filter and increase the reverb across the next 8 bars, then duck it back down at the drop. Keep it simple, high-pass it, add subtle motion, sidechain it lightly, and listen to it against a break loop and sub. The real test is whether it feels like it's drifting behind the drums rather than floating over them. If you want to push it further, try a second version where the pad gets narrower and darker in the drop, then widens again in the breakdown. That kind of contrast is pure DNB arrangement energy. So remember, in jungle and old school DNB, the pad should imply weight, not occupy it. Let the drums and bass carry the physical punch. Let the pad carry the mood. If it feels like fog moving behind the break, you've nailed it.